preface with this statement, in the fire, the test, the furnace of fire, the test of life, the furnace of life, and life is a furnace sometimes, is it not? You will experience certain things. Let me read these verses in Daniel 3, 26 through 30. Now, this is after Nebuchadnezzar has seen these guys walking around loose in the fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, look at this, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. I'm reading from the King James. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, captains, king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men. Listen to this. I love this. This is shouting territory right here. Upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, listen to this, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. And then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word. It's an important little clause, a phrase right there, because if you change the king's word, they killed you. They changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that could deliver after this sort. Well, Nebuchadnezzar became a believer, but he needed to be discipled a little bit, didn't he? You don't kill your enemies that fast. Those verses. In the fire, the furnace of life, you'll experience some things. Three things I've got for us. Number one, you'll experience His presence. The presence of the Lord. In Daniel 3, 23, these guys are in the fire. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fire, furnace. Verse 24 says, And Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, rose up in haste, and spoke and said unto his counselors, Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like... We experience the presence of God when we radically obey Him. So His presence is assured in radical obedience. You remember that great passage in Acts 5 when these guys have been thrown in jail because the people got excited about they having had healed the man lame from his birth. And they tried to shut him up and couldn't do it, so they threw them in prison. The next verse says an angel came and let them out. And so they went, you and I probably would have hid after that. No, they just opened up again. And as they explain what happens, Luke says that he gave the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. The Holy Spirit comes when we obey the Lord. Obedience is what our Lord is looking for in order to have something on the altar to bless. Max Lucado said, if you intentionally hang out at the bus stop of disobedience, you need to know something. God's bus doesn't stop there. I just picked up a wonderful book recently on revival, and the first chapter has to do with what it's like without revival. And the author points out that the Lord is missing, at least in His manifest presence. And so he said, when we pray to the Lord, we need to pray, Lord, we miss You. Some folks miss Him and don't know they miss Him because they've never experienced His hand upon their life as they radically obey the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar learned who these guys were in the fire. Now, short time before this, Daniel had said, I want you to appoint these three guys, because Daniel had already gotten his promotion. Don't you put them over the the place of Babylon. And the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar said, okay. So he promoted them. Well, instantly, now watch this. Instantly, when God begins to do good things in your life, the devil wakes up. And his enemies come against you. So here's what I'm saying. Do not be surprised if you radically obey the Lord that everybody doesn't think it's great. They will not. They just will not. And so Nebuchadnezzar learned who they were in the fire, and he said in verse 26a, the Nebuchadnezzar came near and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. He had seen something he'd never, ever seen before. They knew it before the fire, of course. When Nebuchadnezzar said, I've got this idol, 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide, approximately. You guys got to bow down like everybody else, and if you don't, I'm going to throw you in the furnace of fire. And these guys said, sir, the NIV puts it, sir, we don't really have to defend ourselves here. Because we have a God who can deliver us. And he will deliver us out of your hand. But if he doesn't deliver us out of the fire, we still will not worship your God. See, they drew a line. Because these guys knew their God. They knew how he responded. Now, Nebuchadnezzar knows. He didn't know it before. Then the second thing is he learned who their God was. He learned they were servants of the high God. Now he learns who their God is, the Most High God. Remember, he didn't know that before because he said, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace, and who is the God that's going to deliver you from that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, he's about to see. Now, here's the bottom line of that little part of the study. I believe that we will impact our world better by radical obedience than well-meaning compromise. I applaud people who are trying to meet others halfway, but you watch this very, very carefully. We give away too much sometimes in our compromise. The world gives away nothing. When we compromise, we give away. So I believe we'll impact our world better by radical obedience and well-meaning compromise. You remember David and Goliath, of course. David was about 16, some of the scholars say. He never fought anything but lions and bears. And in the translation of the Bible, or expositional translation, I call it, by our friend Gene Peterson, called The Message, when Saul heard David's strategy, Dr. Peterson says, that Saul said, that's ridiculous. It certainly sounded ridiculous, didn't it? By the way, that's what we need, is some folks with ridiculous faith. That is, who see earth's issues from heaven's point of view. And that's how David saw it. Listen. Saul saw it from ground level. David saw it from God level. So in engaging our culture, we need to see things as they really are. These guys, their testimony became crystal clear and clean because of the fire. King saw something he'd never seen. Never seen faith like that in his life. Reminded me, I wrote in my notes, of the Amish in Pennsylvania. You remember the children shot to death in that schoolroom? These guys, and I've been up there so many times around those folks, I'm charmed by their old ways. I don't sense it. I don't feel any sense of ridicule. God bless them. They look happy to me, and the girls are beautiful, and the guys are handsome. They're working hard in the fields like I used to see my grandfather work years and years ago. These folks modeled ridiculous forgiveness. They even comforted the family of the man who did it. And the paper, the press, presented them in a light they never had before. So in the fire, we experience his presence. And when the Lord's on the scene, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are stronger. Second thing is, they experienced his protection. Where is God's protection? I'll tell you, it's where he is. so that when we come to Him, we are coming to His protection. He sent His angel. Some scholars say that was a pre-Christian, a Christophany, that is, a pre-Christian revelation of Jesus. I will not argue with that. Okay. The scripture says angel, because that's Nebuchadnezzar. But he said he looks like the Son of God. So that's where we get the idea that it may have been the Lord Jesus Himself. Whatever. The Lord sent someone to rescue them. You stay where He is on life's issues. Let me repeat that. In engaging our culture, if you and I can find the courage to stay where the Lord is on the issues of life, He will not leave us there alone. Amen. Years ago, I was attending the Southern Baptist Convention in Houston, Texas. There are about 10,000 Southern Baptists there, that particular one. And when you get 10,000 Southern Baptists together, you have a few weirdos sprinkled among you. You know what I mean by weirdo is I don't need to go into that. Well, there was a weirdo out there, and he was preaching to Southern Baptists as we came and went. And I'm not making a case about Southern Baptists. I'm making a case about being Christian. And he was taking Southern Baptists to task. He was telling us how liberal we were, how we didn't believe this and didn't believe that. And look at your women. They wear pants to the meeting and all this kind of important stuff. About the third day, I got tired of it. Now, you can't see me, but I'm 5'7" of solid muscle. That's my story. 5'7". This is a big guy. But I got tired of it. And a little of my mama's spunk rose up in me, and I hoped some righteous indignation, in any case, indignation. And I stopped and listened to him a minute, and I said, "Sir," he went right on preaching. I said, "Sir," he went right on preaching. I said, "Sir, let me speak." I said, "Shut up." Uh-oh, yeah, I know it. I know it. Mama said, "Don't say shut up," right? I knew I'd done wrong. But he did shut up. He did shut up. And I said, I started to speak. Well, when I did, there was this great big guy in charge of this man's security. Now, I'm 5'7". He was way over 6 and twice as wide and twice as thick. And so he glowered down upon me as I looked up at the guy. And he said to me in his Texas drawl, which I love. Everybody in his heart wants to be a cowboy or an Indian. He glowered down at me and he said, "He can say anything he wants to. You shut up." Okay, we got a mess now. Where I grew up in North Carolina, that's a mess. You know, freedom of speech and all that stuff. So I'm standing there looking up at Terminator 1. Exactly. Trying to decide if I should be a defender of the faith and be a martyr to the faith or not. I looked him over and I thought to myself, well, I can't outrun him. I know that. I was sure about that. When I was trying to decide how to go on, standing there, it felt like two great big old arms encircled me and drew me back up against what seemed like a great big body. And I turned around and looked into the face of my old preacher buddy Lewis Garrett. He was every bit as big as the other guy. So Terminator 2 is behind me now. Lewis squeezed me back to him. He said, "Vander, you can talk better than I can." He said, "You go ahead, son, and say anything you want to." And he looked at that guy and said, "And I'll take care of everything else." I was set free. You know, I've forgotten if I said anything else or not. I really have. Probably been better if I didn't. But I tell you what I learned, and it warms my heart here these 15 or more years later. The feeling I had of having somebody with me who could handle what I was facing. And I just decided right then and there, a principle of life is this. If you and I will stand where the Lord Jesus stands on the issues of life, He will not leave us there alone. No question about it. His protection. You could throw these guys in the fire, but you couldn't set them on fire. They can go, listen to me. You know this. I'm just kind of a cheerleader this morning. Real, deeply committed believers can go through stuff others can't. We need to understand that. I have been through some terrible, difficult, awful things recently, and people would call me and say to me, you know, I just don't know how people do it without the Lord. You've said that. I've said that. And it's true. I just don't. Because I'll tell you, I cannot. But I do with His presence. You can experience God's blessing even in a culture hostile to your own convictions. If you're willing to go through something. Vance Havner, our old friend, said, God can't get you out of something if you never get into something. And there was this wonderful old mountain preacher, and I love to tell preachers this story when I preach to them. He'd been around a long time and served a lot of different churches, and he said, if you ain't in a mess, you ain't no good. You know what he means. I don't think we mean intentionally to become burrs and porcupines. That's not what I'm talking about. But sometimes it costs us to stand for what is right. And ladies and gentlemen, there is no substitute for His presence and His deliverance. I think of this business of experiencing God's blessings in a culture hostile to your convictions. I do not know what you think about, and I'm not praising a man who is not here and who is now with the Lord, but I don't know what you think about Jerry Falwell, but put your political ideas about him on the shelf for just a moment. I knew him personally. His daughter was a member of my congregation. I've been in that church and to some seminars at the seminary. I knew Jerry very well. If you were to meet him today, you would wonder if that could possibly be the guy you've heard about in the press. He is kind. He is gentle. He's deferential. When I came over to his table to speak to him when they had a meeting at my church, he wanted to get up and be deferential to me. Whatever we have heard about him, you drive to Lynchburg and look at that university, second to none in its facility. Nearly 10,000 students. That's enough right there. A man who made it in a culture that hated him. But I want to just you to look at his family. He's got a university president who was a lawyer. He's got a pastor's son who received 4,500 new members last year and baptized 1,000. And his precious, beautiful daughter who was in my congregation was sweet and kind and courteous. She is a surgeon. She teaches surgery at the Medical College of Virginia. If he'd done nothing else but that, I'm telling you, that is called winning in an untoward society. God can bless you and me in a society hostile to our convictions if we'll stand true. My mother died 3 years ago with Alzheimer's. She was a godly, godly human being. Prayed every night of her life. I'm talking about every night of her life, on her knees, by her bed, with her Bible open before her, in a loud voice. If God had any hearing problems, He could still hear my mother. Miss Bertha Smith, the great missionary whom all of us know and love in the past, Miss Smith said the reason you pray out loud is you want the devil to hear what you're telling your father. I liked it, don't you? And so Mother prayed like that. Alzheimer's set in. She couldn't remember her first husband. She couldn't remember sometimes who her kids were. She could not see. She had macular degeneration. And you know something about not being able to see. With Alzheimer's, macular degeneration, seated in a wheelchair. Listen now. We celebrated her 90th birthday. Her grandson was a multimillionaire. I'm glad to let you know one Warner's got a little money. Only one. her eldest grandson, who is a fine lawyer, has his own firm. My brother, my sister, who's from Omaha, one of the greatest Christians I know, you move into her neighborhood, you get saved or you move out. At least you're uncomfortable. Godly people. I looked around in that room at Mother's 90th birthday, and every single child in that room, including seven great-grandchildren, know Jesus Christ as their Savior if they've come to the age of accountability. That's success, isn't it? We were leaving. I said, Mother, is there anything you want to say to the group before you go, dear? She thought a moment and said, yes. Please, remember who God is and remember who you are. That's profound. That came straight from the Holy Spirit. That's exactly the experience Moses had. You remember? Well, old Nebuchadnezzar saw these guys, saw God meet him in the fire. And then the king said in verse 29, there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. You know the little contemporary chorus they sing these days? There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. Nebuchadnezzar said it first. Let me give you this third piece that I have for you. We talked about his presence, his protection. Now let's talk about his provision for just a moment in the fire furnace. In this case, his provision not only was himself, but in this case it was promotion. The whole society was against them. They were thrown into the furnace. The king hated them. Everything is different now. In verse 30, after the king said there's no other God like that can deliver after this sort, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Promoted them. They were better off after the fire than they were before the fire. I know sometimes, I've had this experience, you're probably a better Christian than I am, but I know sometimes when I have to stand for an unpopular something or absent myself from an unpopular something or another, I feel like, okay, that did it, Vanda, you blew it. We feel like that sometimes because all of us, I think most of us in any case, and it's a flaw in my character, I want people to like me. I want them to like me. And if we're not careful, we'll be more interested in ourselves than we are the Lord. I'm talking to me now. Okay? These guys did just the opposite. And his provision after the fire to furnace was promotion. So listen to this. God's protection was not just for defense. He does that. Thank God he protects us. Man, I can think of several places I am absolutely certain that God had an angel who took care of things for me. I mean it. I really mean it. We are hedged about and surrounded by angels, even one assigned to it, Jesus said in Matthew 18. So, I believe that. But provision, not only for defense, but here you go, but for offense as well. They were in a position after the fire to do more than ever before. They were now promoted and had the king's commendation. The fire burned up the opposition to a new position. They had great position, prestige, influence, and resources. They had the courage to stand in defiance and now strength for even more. We need strength for deliverance and even more, ladies and gentlemen. We need strength for radical obedience and aggressive love. I said aggressive love. This is no time to be passive. No, sir. If you love somebody, let them know it. If you love somebody enough to do something for them, do it. If you love somebody enough to share with them Christ, do it. It's time for us to be aggressive in our love. I do not like Christians who are always living in the negative. As though they had, as my friend John Haggai used to say, grew up in crabapple time and were weaned on a pickle. I don't like that. Yeah, sour. They're sour saints. The prodigal's brother was a sour saint. He never gave me anything. Always something negative. I get the jitters when I'm in the presence of somebody who's negative over 5 minutes. How about you? I'm negative enough about myself when I'm on my knees before the Lord. So we're talking about radical obedience and aggressive love. I'll give you a little illustration, which will say more than... years ago, I was pastor of the First Baptist Church at Pocomoke City, Maryland, on the Delmarva Peninsula. I'm glad to hear you say, oh yeah, people come and say, Pocomoke City? You've never been there, hush. It's a tiny, tiny little town of about 6,000 or 7,000, 8,000 people. I was at the First Baptist Church, went there, and it's 100th year. What an incredible pleasure to pastor that church. I loved being there. Gave me a membership in the country club. I like stuff like that. It was wonderful. I was in my 20s as the pastor of that good church, and God sent revival. And nearly every Sunday, somebody got saved or somebody got right with the Lord. It was just thrilling to be there for those years. And so people began to hear about it. That's what happens. You get excited. God does something you get excited about. You can't help but tell folks. They get excited about it. They want to get in on it. And that's revival. And so there came a precious woman about 35 years of age. She asked to talk to me. She told me this awful story, the details of which I will not go into. Her husband and she were part of a wife-swapping club. As far as I'm concerned, that's as evil as it gets. My dad taught me to love, cherish, honor, and esteem females, and I'm not going to get over that either. I'm going to do that. And I was just horrified and angry. I wanted to go out there and take care of him and tell God I did it. But I was the wrong size again. I really was angry with this guy. Furthermore, she said, I've been coming to church and I want Jesus as my Savior, and I just can't stand that anymore. I just can't do it. And she said, and last week they were there and they started swapping around, and I said, no, I'm not going to do it. My husband grabbed me and two men grabbed me while another man had me. Yes. That is so horrific. Well, she got saved. And I was driving down the main street, and I noticed this great big old guy trying to cross the street, and I recognized him as her husband. He knew who I was. He'd been at a party where I was. I wanted to shake my fist at him. But you know what the Lord led me to do? To smile and wave my hand and holler out the window at him. And I saw his countenance change. And he was in church the next Sunday morning. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not that spiritual all the time. You heard me tell that guy, shut up. I want you to understand that. Don't misunderstand. I can't do any of that kind of stuff without the Spirit. And love is a fruit of the Spirit. That's why we need to be filled with the Spirit. Because the Holy Ghost is shed abroad. You see, the love is shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. And so that one blessed moment, God gave me to aggressively love that man, at least enough to say hello and embrace him with my words. The only thing the fire did to these guys is to burn up their bonds and give them a testimony before the great and the mighty. They were set free in the fire. So when the fire comes, if you're in there because you've radically obeyed the Lord, you're getting ready to have company. Amen. Father, thank you for this Bible study. Thank you for receptive hearts of these dear men and women of God. Fill them and thrill them with yourself. And give them a heart to obey and to love. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. I was pastor for 26 years of the Grove